T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The term that I've used is pole position.
It's time for Pole's Position.
So the number one pick, by the way, for the Bears is secured.
Brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need it.
The Chicago Bears are on the clock.
What will Ryan Pole's do with the number one pick?
You guys are drafting Caleb Williams number one overall.
We'll see.
Congratulations.
Did it.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Congratulations. Woo! You did it. Okay, so.
We're counting down the days to the NFL draft.
Two picks, wow.
With the ninth pick in the 2024 NFL draft. The Chicago Bears select
9999.
So I listen to Pole's Position for the last 3 months, every single day, because apparently I don't need to get anywhere with my life. And it's been fantastic.
Sit back and watch them go.
With the first pick, the Chicago Bears select.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons on The Score.
You guys know the drill by now, what we do during Pole's Position, try to get inside the mind of Ryan Poles. Today, we're bringing in an expert, one of the best analysts in college football. He does it for Fox Sports, also is a Washington Huskies alum. You see him on a ton of games out there on the West Coast.
Morning show co-host, he deals with Mike Salk every day.
Oof. All right, we should just talk to him about that. That sounds brutal. He's on our Twitch chat and YouTube stream and on the hotline brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. He is Brock Heward. What's up, Brock?
Good afternoon, boys. Doing well. Doing well. I'll make sure you, I'll tell Saul Kello from both of you. That was a real warm welcome.
Yeah, loving. So, nothing but love here.
Warm for you. No, I'm just kidding. He's excellent. Yes. We'll get into specifics on all of this, but I would say the single most popular combination of mocks to the Bears at 1-9 is Caleb Williams 1, Rome Odunze 9. What would that pairing be in your mind in the NFL?
Oh, pretty awesome. I mean, in Rome Odunze, you're talking about, and I'm super biased with this because I'm an alum and I'm wearing my little Husky hat for you today. Figured we'd talk a little Husky football.
Yeah.
Rome is on my gold medal, silver medal, bronze. He's on my medal stand of being one of my favorite Huskies ever. Over the last 20 some years or close to it of covering sports, of being in the media and doing all that, just watching all these guys having football camps back up in the Pacific Northwest, watching him around friends, watching him, frankly, in our building. We had a charity event around the holidays called Holiday Magic, and he and a number of the Husky guys came in the building and just blew everybody away. Selfless, humble, appreciative, and then as a football player, man, he's just phenomenal. So I think more and more, the longer I'm in this, guys, the longer I do this, and this is a really cool segment that you guys do. We do a draft preview the entire month leading up to the draft as well. It's a fun segment for me because I'm on the road. I see these guys. I sit in meetings. I feel like I get closer to them, and I'm able to actually bring all that fun stuff from the road to my radio show and in the mornings in Seattle. And Rome's off the charts, man. That would be a home run. I think if you're a Bears fan, you're hoping that he ends up still being on the board when pick number 9 does come.
Man, that's quite the endorsement. I agree that the longer I'm in this business, at a different realm of it than you, I don't know football the way that you know it, but like the quality of person, the quality of character, the effort, the commitment to it, the love of the game, that stuff, it matters a ton. And that's what we don't know, so that's what we're asking. And for you, that's off the charts with Rome, it sounds like.
I mean, you just can't be, really, you can't be better. And it's not phony. It's not disingenuous. Got a good friend of mine that's a captain of a fishing boat. He was a Seattle Fire Department captain forever and ever. Cool article was written on this a couple weeks ago in the Seattle Times newspaper. And they did a fundraiser for the Huskies as well, kind of an NIL fundraiser, and it was Fish with the Husky, and Rome ended up on my buddy's boat, and Captain Tom was like, I don't know if I met a better young man. And he had such a blast fishing. He'd never done it before. He absolutely loved it and said, hey, Captain, do you mind if I bug you again sometime in the summer? I'd love to come out and do it again. And usually, you know, if that happens, you never get a call back or a text back. And sure enough, a couple months later, he texted and said, hey, man, this is Rome. Would love to come out on the water again. It's such a blast the last time around. And so he made just lifelong friends with those fishermen. And that's just the kind of guy he is, man. He's magnetic. He's real. He's genuine. Oof. And that's all the traitsy stuff off the field. Football player, he is just competitive. He's got a body control as a big guy that is, you would think he was 5'11", 180, with the way that he can contort his body, the balance that he has. He is a contested catch guy. You can't really cover him. Phenomenal catch radius, all those terms that you love to hear from scouts. But any big moment, anytime there was a one-on-one, that ball was going to him, and he did nothing but deliver.
So you touched on it there. Was reading 28 contested catch opportunities. He caught 21 of them. Was reading a scouting report that said he fights through contact a little like A.J. Brown in terms of physicality. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's not maybe as muscular. I've talked to some of these scouts that think he may put on 10 more pounds. You know, there's parts of him that's Larry Fitzgerald-like in just his sense of the game, his hands. You know, if he were to add 10, 15 pounds, he'd probably fit into that Larry frame. And then obviously Larry moved into the slot late in his career. But you're talking about a 4'4 dude. He was a 10, 800 meter guy out of high school. He jumps out of the gym. The vert was nearly 40 inches there at the combine. So, I mean, if it wasn't for Harrison Jr. and obviously neighbors, you're talking about QB or receiver one, you get QB one, receiver one in the same draft and happen to get him at 1-9, that would be a home run for the Bears.
I mean, do you think there's an argument he's better than neighbors or Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I think there's an argument with neighbors. I mean, Marvin is just so unique. Once again, traits off the charts. Don't know him personally quite as well. Did a few of his Ohio State games over the year. He's an absolute years. He's absolute pro and a worker, and you know brings just as unique a skill set. And it's 6'3" plus and all that background. So it would be hard for me to pass. But honestly, I think it's one of those situations that, hey man, all three of these guys are in the bucket, and I feel great about any of them. All of them, I think, will be tremendous pros. I just personally, as I said, I'm biased. And yeah. I would probably say, man, if I'm in that room, just because of all that personal attachment, all of that background, all that time on task I have with them, I know exactly what I'm getting as a human, as a player, as a worker, as a pro. I would feel really, really comfortable with Rome being receiver number one.
We're talking to Brock Heward, Washington Husky alum and Fox Sports college football analyst, polls position, brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical, there when you need us. This is not nearly as common, but it has happened a few times. Troy Fautanu, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing the last name. Is he in play at 9? Is that a trade down spot? Is he a left tackle? Like, what would you think about that for the Bears?
Well, I'll give you something that Jake Dickert said on our station leading up to the Apple Cup. And Dickert said, Troy Fautanu is the best offensive lineman. Jake being the head coach of Washington State, for you Bears fans out there in Chicago that may not know the name Jake Dickert, but unbelievable. Did a terrific job, you betcha. And he said that Troy Fautanu is the best lineman he's ever seen. Period, end of story. Like the best that he has ever seen on tape. I remember chatting with Daniel Jeremiah really early, like during the season, and saying, DJ, like, I'm looking at these mock drafts. I'm looking at these projections. Why in the world is Troy Fautanu not in the first round? Why is he not? I mean, he's athletic. He's a mauler. He's physical. He bends so stinking well. He looks like he's 220 pounds and he's 320 pounds. Like, how in the world is this dude? And the thought and the sentiment then was, well, maybe he's more of a guard and he's got a little shorter arms. And then he goes to combine. He doesn't have short arms. Then he goes to combine. He destroys it. And then everybody starts watching the tape going, yeah, this dude just bends and moves differently. And he just climbing and climbing and climbing. I'm hoping like mad he's on the board at 16 for the Seahawks because they desperately need either a tackle or a guard. He could play both. He's athletic enough to be a left tackle. He could be a guard. He could be a right tackle. He is just, you know, I I think of Olin Krutz, who I played with at Washington, obviously a familiar name out there in Chicago. And when I play with Olin, I just felt like, man, I don't need anybody else. Just give me Olin. Give me Olin on the O-line. He'll make everybody better. And there's a similar sentiment to me with Fautanu. Like, yep, just give me that guy. He'll play any position, and he will make the O-line better. He's that kind of – just that kind of talent. And I think Olin wishes he could have been 6'4 and 315 with 33-inch arms and run and jump the way this guy does, because he is a special athlete as well.
Olin played with an anger that he wasn't 6'4". You know,
yes,
Olin's, Olin's a contributor on this station, a good friend of this show, so we love – that gets a reference.
We talk about free agency. It reminds me of my fisheries 101 course in college. A lot more than I bargained for when you look at all the information, so I don't do it.
So Olin was surprised that fisheries 101 at Washington was as hard as it was. Did you take that one, Brock?
I did not take fisheries 101, but a lot of biology. I told you about Captain Tom. He was a fisheries major at the University of Washington. So, yeah, when you fish with him, you get a whole lot of lesson about all of the background on the fisheries as well. So, yeah, Olin had snap, man. Olin, I remember my freshman year, we all had to do the bench test as we came in as true freshmen. It was like 225 on the bar, and I'm like, oh, this is – whatever, kind of like the NFL, right? Like, okay, let's see what we can do here. And then there was Olin, and he was just at a whole different line. I think he put 315 on and was doing reps as a true freshman. So different kind of snap, different kind of power, and Fautanu has certainly got a lot of that as well.
All right, what's your best Olin Krutz in college story?
Oh, gosh, there are a bunch of them, but I remember getting the wind knocked out of me, which I never had happen in my life until I got to college, surprisingly enough. It didn't really happen in high school, and that happened, I think, my redshirt freshman year. Olin played as a true freshman, so he was a sophomore. He was already established. He was the absolute stud, and this guy from Oregon State hit me, just helmet right in the gut, and I'm on like all fours and just kind of gasping for air, and Olin just absolutely destroyed this dude. He's tried to stand over me, right, and was like, oh, and Olin just lifted him and must have lifted him 10 yards in the air, and obviously it was a penalty. But from that moment, and even before that moment, I'm like, this is my guy. Like, if I had to pick, you know, a teammate to play with, if I had to play, gosh, what was that old Robin Williams movie? Best of Times, where they go back and play.
Oh,
and
I love that movie.
Yeah. Oh, such a good movie.
Yep.
And he said, okay, you pick your team and you know, pick your huddle. Who is it going to be? It would be Olin. It'd be Corey Dillon right there. 1-1A. Give me those two guys, and we'll go play anybody, anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, it's Kurt Russell, right? Kurt Russell and Robin Williams in that movie. Well, you know, the Bears haven't had a center like Olin since Olin. And I know there's not many out there, but like, how important is it that the center is kind of a badass like that? Bears are about to give that job to Ryan Bates, who they traded a fifth-round pick from Buffalo, and I'm concerned, Brock.
Well, it matters, man. It sets the tone for everybody. Once the Seahawks, you know, you go back and look at the trajectory of the Seattle Seahawks and that near dynastic run that they were on, lose that second Super Bowl, and one of the real moves that hurt them when you do look back on it, it was moving on from Max Unger. Max Unger was not necessarily that same kind of anger, but he was the anchor. He was the trustworthy. Like, everybody just knew this was our captain and everything is going to be built around him. The Seahawks bet that the body was going to break down. He'd had a few injuries at that point. Well, it didn't. And he went to New Orleans and anchored that O-line when they were really good for a lot of years. So whether it is with, you know, a bit of fire, whether it's with a bit of just horsepower and football acumen, whatever it is, whatever the skill set is, you want that guy to be the captain of the group up front, no question about it.
Hey, Brock Huard is with us from Brock and Salk in Seattle, and obviously a wealth of college football experience as a player and a longtime analyst. All right, so we got to ask then, we've got Shane Waldron here. What are the strengths and weaknesses of Shane Waldron from your experience? And would you trust him with somebody like Caleb Williams?
I would say the strengths of Shane, very cerebral, very bright guy coming out of the tree that he's, you know, come out of. So I think the strengths is sitting on a whiteboard and being like, yep, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to win. This is how we're going to put these pieces of this puzzle together. And I'm sure that's why he interviewed really well in a competitive environment with a lot of offensive coordinator change around the league and ended up for Chicago being the one that they lean into, knowing, hey, we're going to have a rookie quarterback, and you got to be able to teach, and you got to equip them, and you got to put a good plan together. And I know for Pete Carroll, when he hired him, I know he was really impressed in that regard. I would say the area that he's got to grow is just in presence. He's got to grow in presence and the command of that room, that command of those men. Kind of what we were talking about with the offensive centers there, that the best play callers that I've ever been around in my life, either playing for or watching or observing, every one of them just has that presence. Yeah, when they speak, you know, there's a kind of that authority, right? They're not passive. They're in total control. Think of Shanahan. Think of McVay. Think of Andy Reid. Think of the best ones in the league. Think of collegiately a Lincoln Riley and a Ryan Day. Like, those guys know exactly what they want, exactly how they're going to go about it. And I think maybe at times there is a first-time coordinator in Seattle that was a bit of a learning curve for him. So I would think the second time around, that would be the one area I would say, man, just command, whether it's the press conference, whether it's the offensive meeting room, whether that's post-game, whatever it is, just have total command of what you're doing.
Brock, obviously we're talking about Caleb Williams every day, and we're watching all the highlight videos and the interviews and all that, but you've met him, you've called his games, you've been around him. What can you tell us that we can't see on highlight videos about the player or the person?
Yeah, it's funny that we were talking about, and you guys mentioned earlier, the longer you do this, the more you kind of care about the person and the human being you're going to get, even more than the skill set. And I mean, Caleb's been just on top of the world, right? So much attention, a Heisman Trophy winner, and every move has been watched from the time he was a stud at Oklahoma to going to USC. And I think the first year at USC, golly, it was off the charts. Just knowing people within the program, the way he took care of everybody, the generosity that he had, just a great dude. And none of that necessarily changed. But this year, with all of the fandom and all of the stardom and all of the money, and you know this, and you guys have been around superstars in your city, you know it's hard to navigate. How do I let people in, and what kind of circle do I got to build around me, and how do I say no to things, and how do I really put the proper people around me and have the right voices around me? Those are all the things that he had to endure last year. And at times I think it was hard. I think at times you saw him emotionally break down and be really challenged in that process. And while you can on one side of it say, ooh, I don't really like that, and I don't like that fragility, on the other side of it, you say, I do like that. You know, he's real. He's transparent. He's a human. And he's still a really young guy. You know, he's not Bo Nix. He's not Penix. When those guys went through that, and they did, and Penix was on the ground with the story that Bruce Feldman wrote, beautiful one in The Athletic, like in tears, just trying to figure out life. Like, I hate this. I hate being injured. I hate everything that's come with this. And Bo Nix had to leave everything he knew to go out. Like, those guys were at a crossroads, and they did endure those things. So now they're 24 years old. This guy's not. I mean, he's still really, really young, and I think worked through a lot of that process last year. And hopefully for the Bears and that organization, for Mr. Poles, it's betting on it. Hopefully he uses that adversity of last year to really grow and develop and just mature. Maturing as a quarterback is a lot of things. It's not just processing. It's not just playing the game. Maturing as a quarterback is everything I just said. It is, man, when you're a star of that level and you have to handle all these expectations, you have the right people around you, that right circle of trust around you. That is so, so critically important.
Brock, he has referenced his 3 years in college as each one having different challenges and different bits of adversity. So, yeah, here's hoping that he uses that stuff as things to grow on moving forward. As a quarterback, it seems like he's got that quick trigger release while he's on the run moving towards the line mm-hmm. of scrimmage, but the eyes are downfield. That kind of thing that has been a struggle for us to find in other young quarterbacks we've dissected. Seems like he's got that.
Yeah, I would say that is, if you were to measure all the different skill sets, that's his greatness. That's where he is the most unique. That is where these NFL guys were salivating, waiting for him to come out, because his movement throws are extraordinary, right? His ability to run both directions and run forward and throw off any platform and do all of those things. It's the best in this class. It's one of the best that most of these scouts have seen and measured. Now, how many times does that show up in the NFL? How critical is that compared to play on time, play in rhythm, play on schedule, protect yourself, protect the football? You know, you get to that next level and it isn't highlight reel plays all the time. Yeah, Mahomes can do them, but what did Mahomes show this season? What has he showed over the last few seasons? Less is more. less is more. And the more I play on schedule and the more I stay on schedule, even if I don't have the talent around me, I can still elevate them. So there will be a learning curve for him, but his extraordinary is just that. It is extraordinary, and especially when he's out on the move.
What's the biggest thing that you've seen Jason Benetti eat when you guys are doing a game together?
Oh, Benetti is the best, man. I mean, to weigh 112 pounds and eat the way he can is just, it is just incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, where were we? Was it the Apple Cup? Gosh, we had back-to-back games. I don't know if it was the Apple Cup or the week before, but when he bought the room blizzards, right, and he door-dashed those suckers to the production meeting room, and he came in, and he didn't go small blizzards. No, you don't go small blizzard.
No.
You go medium blizzard. I mean, you go big. And to do what he can do at the weight that he is, it's superhuman.
Yeah, he would put up big numbers at that kind of combine. Brock, thank you very much for the time, the insight. This was excellent. Our audience is really enjoying it, and hopefully we do it again. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, pretty jealous, man. You guys are in prime position with a young quarterback, a great roster, and then whether it's Fautanu or Rome or honestly, and I don't speak in platitudes about those guys, I promise you. That is real. Those are two of the best that I've seen come through Montlake, and if they end up in Chicago, kind of like Olin did for decades, it'd be a pretty darn good player for you.
Thank you, Brock. That's great stuff.
You bet.
Thanks, Brock.
That's Brock Heward, Poles Position, of course, brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical, there when you need us.
Thank you, Black Diamond, and thank you, Brock Heward. There was a lot of good stuff in there for us to chew on as the day's approach here with the NFL Draft.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things we could even react to now. We got categories coming up in 20 minutes. Nico Horner at 5. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the screen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Parkins and Spiegel. Yeah. Sounds like the law firm you call when you get a parking ticket.
Afternoons on the Score.
You got any tickets laying around? Let me know.
Yeah, Coach, we do. We actually have 2 pairs of tickets today, and we're going to have more over the rest of the week to go see one of the biggest comedians touring right now when he comes to the United Center. Bert Kreischer. We got pairs of tickets to give away. So if you want to see Bert, you got to have our contest line ready, 312-540-0670, and just be the sixth or seventh caller, because we're giving away 2 pairs today. When you hear this,
I'll take a sip of Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid?
You're drinking Kool-Aid to start your day? Really?
It's so good.
That's his podcast with Tom Segura.
Yes. Yeah. 2 Bears, 1 Cave.
Oh, God.
So when you hear that clip of Bert Kreischer, have the contest line ready, be the sixth or seventh caller, and we'll give you a pair of tickets to go see one of the biggest comedians in the world. Again, that contest line, to have it ready in your phone, is 312-540-0670.
Does he work naked or just shirtless?
Shirtless. His big thing is that he takes his shirt off for every show.
Every show. Does he start with his shirt off, or is that like...
No. Generally, he comes out in a shirt, and it depends. Does he go right at the beginning? Does he rip it off?
I knew you would know.
Whatever, you know, yeah, it's a signature thing.
You're an aficionado, not of shirtless people,
no,
but of stand-up comics.
Trying to be. Yeah, I love it. I'm very interested in the medium. Think it's incredible.
It's your music.
It's having a comedy boom right now. Podcast, a big part of it. David Tell just released a special on
Netflix. Did he really?
Yeah, it came out. Have you watched it yet, Tanny?
No, but he is making the rounds, and it is very much enjoyable.
Let's get him!
I've listened to, it might be a little late for that, but I've listened to, you know, he was on Dan Soder, he was on Rogan.
Yeah.
He's been on everything.
I'm actually halfway through him with Morell and Norman on We Might Be Drunk on that podcast. I'm listening to it, yeah. So, and gonna see him at the Den Theater. He's doing the Den Theater.
Oh my god!
It's been five months.
I'll tell you what I absolutely loved was Insomniac, his TV show.
Incredible.
Didn't he do a Wiener Circle one? A legendary Wiener Circle one, I believe.
Sure, yeah.
For Insomniac, but that whole show was just freaking awesome.
Yeah, great. It's still on Netflix. The three episode Bumping Mics with him and Jeff Ross. Very creative spin.
Never watched it on a
comedy special.
It's
over three nights at the Comedy Cellar. It's excellent.
He's one of those guys, and we're just wrap this up here. But whenever I see him, last time I saw him live was at the Comedy Cellar in New York. But he's one of those guys. Whenever you see him, and Rogan had a post about this because he's been in Texas doing Rogan's Club. He might be like the greatest working stand-up comedian in terms of just
live work,
live tight crowd work, you know, a little improv up there, just the whole package.
Joke writing.
He may be the funniest man alive.
Yeah. He's incredible. Morell was trying to, he's a big New Yorker. He was trying to pay him a compliment of like him and Colin Quinn, like, you guys are like the reason for like the New York comedy scene is what it is. And he just goes, stagnant. It was incredibly quick. He's excellent. I can't wait to see him again.
All right, so takeaways from Brock Huard, and it will last. I have one, which is that if Roma Dunze is available at 9, I'm not quite as interested in trading down as I was. Like the drop off between Roma Dunze and some other wide receivers, and I like Adonai Mitchell. I like Keon Coleman. I'm not crazy about Brian Thomas Jr. There's other, but like the drop off, all of a sudden sounds and feels massive.
We did this when we did the neighbors via Dunze polls position, and I was like, I like both of them a lot. Neighbors finally ran today at the LSU Pro Day, and he timed in at 4:33. And a lot of people are saying that there are going to be people that have him above Marvin Harrison Jr. So that, of course, leads Bears Twitter to be like, well, if we thought the neighbors could fall, maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. could fall to 9. I don't think that's possible. And I still like I might be a neighbors over Marvin Harrison Jr. guy because of the speed. When I watched him, he looked like Jamar Chase to me. But Odunze, I would run the card to the podium to take him at 9. That would be excellent, especially because it sounds like Keenan Allen's only going to be a Bear for 1 year.
Yeah, so this is perfect.
Based on the reporting that came out about how the contract negotiations went with him and the Chargers. He's looking for another pretty big payday that I'd be a little surprised if Ryan Poles gave him.
Could be absolutely perfect. And the way the quarterback rumor mill is right now, that QBs might go 1-2-3-4, or at least 1-2-3-6 or something like that. J.J. McCarthy flying up there. There might not be a lot to trade down for at 9.
You're in a pretty good spot to get it. It would have to go 8 offensive players, 1-8. And it's obviously possible for you to be in a spot where you're like, it's where I think there's like a real debate. But I think if Neighbors is there, you take him. If Odunze is there, you take him. I think that they would take Joe Alt if he somehow fell to 9, the number one tackle in the class.
But they might be looking at a tackle like Olu from Penn State or Fautano from Washington.
Would be more likely trade down a few spot guys if you could find someone who wanted to trade up with you.
But if 4 quarterbacks are gone already, I don't know if they might be talking with Denver and with Minnesota to try and jump up and get Bo Nix at 9. I don't know how much that's actually
going to
happen.
People don't only trade up for quarterbacks.
It's true.
Generally speaking, you don't trade future first-round picks to trade up for non-quarterbacks. Those trades have aged very poorly, like the Jamal Adams trade and a few others. But, if someone says, I want to get the best, I want to get the number one defensive player in the class at 9,
sure,
maybe you move up from 11 to 9. You know what I mean? Like a small
Dallas Turner, Jared Verse.
Yes,
likely.
Something like that. If someone falls for Brock Bowers and thinks he's a top 5 prospect that's available at 9, you know, I wouldn't think that you'd be able to get a massive haul, but maybe you'd be able to recoup the second round pick that you gave up for Montez Sweat. The thing that was interesting to me about him and hearing him rave so much about the character of Odunze is we're not having any we're having some questions about Caleb Williams non-football stuff because of NIL and like weird things that people say on the internet and all that, but it's not, no one's like, he's a bad guy. There's no, you know, but I do think, and I haven't heard polls be asked this. I don't know. Forgive me if he was asked it at the meetings. Like, does he think the culture is established well enough? He brought back Matt Eberflus.
Mm-hmm.
He's had multiple drafts, multiple free agent classes.
Could they withstand a Jalen Brown now?
Jalen Carter. If Rome Odunze was not everything that Brock Huer just said he was, like if he was the wide receiver version of Jalen Carter, would they take Rome Odunze and say, well, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are in that room?
That's a good question.
And, you know, I very much want to know if he's ready to bring on a high-profile, high-talent player. Doesn't sound like there's a guy like that in this range. And so it's great that it isn't. It's not like I'm looking for it, but I do sometimes think that it's a little bit of a market inefficiency and you're not going to have 53 choir boys on an NFL team. And I would hope that if you like your coach enough to bring him back and you've had multiple draft picks and you've re-signed, you know, Jalen Johnson, all these, I would hope that if there was a guy like that, that they'd be okay with doing it.
Somewhere there's a choir boy is like smoking a cigarette and doing a line of blows. Like, what the hell, man?
How did I get
like,
lumped
why
in?
Am I just, everybody thinks I'm good.
I just
everybody
love thinks, singing.
Just because I love singing doesn't mean I might not have character issues.
Yeah,
couldn't stick a landing.
I'm a guy
on
who loves singing and has character issues, and I hate that I'm typecast as a good guy.
Seriously,
all the time. Yeah, maybe that person exists.
Probably
the problematic choir boy.
I loved that film.
Yeah, it was really
it's
good.
It's usually not the choir boy in the church that's problematic.
I know. I open that up there for you.
Yeah, they might grow up that way because of some other stuff. That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah,
well, anyway, I was hearing, like, I'd just be interested. So Odunze, though, he sounds too good to be true.
Was it a young Corey Feldman who was in the problematic choir boy? Is that who it was?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was talented.
He was talented, but it was jarring.
It was made to play that role.
Yeah. 91, I think.
The host of categories today.
Let's go.
By volunteer. Is Chris Tannehill.
Oh, hell yeah.
Get excited.
Yeah, man.
Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Afternoons on the Score.
So,
I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes, we're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is categories. There are three categories, two sports, one non-sports. We go around and around, one of us hosts, trying to name as many things within that category as we can. You play along with home. Today, Chris Tannehill is the host.
Tanny does a tremendous job with everything he touches.
I'm nervous. I haven't had a good showing in a long time. Shane almost always wins.
Yeah.
Sometimes Danny wins.
I've won a little bit recently.
I don't know if I've ever won, even, frankly.
Well, you've hosted the vast majority of them, but yeah, you certainly haven't won.
Let's go, Tanny.
All right, I'll go. I go first in the first one. You go first in the second one.
As per your contract, yes.
Shane
you're first every time.
All right. Not every time. Just the first one. Go ahead.
No,
let's
let the sports update guy go first.
Oh, God. Man. R.I.P.
All right, college basketball is in the news. You notice this, guys?
Oh, no.
The Sweet 16 begins tomorrow. Uh-oh. I have 21 names here. I need the leading scorers in NC2A tournament history.
I thought you meant this year.
No. I wouldn't do that to you.
Okay.
That was. I went through that list, and it would have been a very short category.
Top 21 scorers in the history of the NCAA tournament.
That's right.
All right.
Not top college scorers of all time. This is just the tournament. The tournament, as they say.
Okay.
Holy cow. What a great question.
It is a great category.
Oh my God. Shane Battier.
Yes, number 14 all time.
I'll go with Danny Manning.
Correct, number 3 all time.
JJ Redick.
No, sorry, not on the list.
Okay. Tyler Hansbrough.
Yes, number 4 all time.
Christian Laettner.
He is number 1 all time. He's the only guy with over 4,000.
Hey, has Duke been good?
Not 4,000.
400.
Okay. 4,000. Adam Morrison?
Good guess.
No, sorry, Danny. Okay. Spigs for the win.
Patrick Ewing?
No.
Oh!
We keep it rolling here.
Have you guys done your yearly Google search on where Gonzaga is yet? Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, I knew that.
All right, yeah,
I read that in the newspaper. We keep going
to see which one of us gets one.
Anyway, what was that?
We want to keep going?
See which one of us gets one?
Yeah.
I mean, I was last to get one, but
we each got two.
There's some very notable names, guys that played in the NBA for a long time, really good players here.
Yeah.
So on iconic teams of NCAA history.
Keith Smart.
No.
That was dumb.
All right.
How about...
Pretty iconic team.
How about Larry Johnson?
Nope.
Almost said it.
What? Take it easy.
Almost said it.
Man, things getting spicy on categories.
Sorry. Okay.
John Wallace.
No.
Oh, my God.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Should we just end it? We can't have a tie. I do have a tiebreaker, though, if need be.
Ali Farouk Manesh.
No.
Just that one year. It was one shot.
I mean, think. Can I throw a hint just so we can end this thing?
Well,
think the great Duke teams.
Yeah.
We mentioned Laettner already.
We mentioned Battier already.
Yeah.
J.J. Redick?
It was already mentioned.
That was my first guess.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Hurley.
No.
Oh, God. I should have said Johnny Dawkins.
No.
Oh.
Can I get back in with one?
Yeah, if you get one, it ends.
Luol Deng.
No.
No, there's a...
Just tell us.
Steve Alford. Steve Alford.
Chris Duhon.
No.
Greg Anthony. God.
Dirk Heinrich.
Derek Coleman.
So there was... Yeah, there's... You know, I'll just say there's a few notable names left on the list. Lou Alcindor, ever heard of him?
Oh, God.
You know, we also have the one who I was referring to, Grant Hill, is on this list.
Of course.
Glenn Rice on this list.
Oh, my God.
And Jerry West also on
this list. Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Lou Alcindor.
And, you know, star of the great basketball movie... Blue Chips, Calvert Chaney is also
Calvert Chaney.
He's featured in it.
Good category.
Great category, bad showing.
Yeah, all right. Running out of time here, so let's try to get to this quickly, baseball mavens. Opening day's tomorrow, in case you haven't heard. 1994, 1984, a couple big anniversary seasons for our two teams in town, of course. The Cubs clinching the NL East in 1984, and the White Sox in 1994. One of the best teams in baseball had their season cut short with the baseball strike lockout. I need, by the way, great piece on that.
Daryl Vanscowen, incredible.
In the Sun-Times this weekend. Go check it out. I need, over the last 40 seasons, opening day starters, pitchers for both teams in town.
Starts with me, right?
Yeah.
John Lester.
Yes.
Mark Burley.
Yes.
Kyle Hendricks.
Yes.
Jack McDowell.
Yes.
Jake Arrieta.
Yes.
Stroman did it last year.
He did.
Greg Maddux.
Yes.
Lucas Giolito.
Yes. You guys are awesome today.
Worst pitcher in baseball.
Kerry Wood.
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Mark Pryor.
No.
Oh!
Chris Sale.
Yes.
I went too deep. Stupid. You only had like 2 years. It could have been possible.
Idiot. Dumbass. Ryan Dempster?
Yes.
The worst opening day of my life, James Shields.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is one of those names on this list like, oof.
Yikes.
Feel sorry for anyone who's in the crowd that day.
Oh, my God. I'm such an idiot. Can I get back in?
Uh, trying to think of some like weird Cubs one. Did Samardzija do it?
He did do it.
For the White Sox, though,
for the
right?
White Sox.
Actually, this is going to be one of my tiebreakers, but I'll just say it. Yeah, he actually did it for both. He's one of two guys to do it for both. So there's a hint. Another guy not mentioned did it for both teams since 1984.
Jose Quintana.
He's on the list, but not for both teams.
Okay.
Did you say Zambrano?
Nope.
I did not, know.
Should have.
He has to have done
yes.
it.
For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he did a bunch, right?
The guy who broke Mark Burley's consecutive streak, Jose Contreras.
Yes.
I'm in trouble.
I want back in. I'm such an idiot for going prior.
This game's tough. You overthink it sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm guilty
yeah.
as ever. That's why I volunteered to do it today.
Steve Traxel.
Wow! Yes, Danny.
No way.
Traxel off the top.
I'm trying
rope.
To think of like whoops.
Bad year. It's like a Mike Quatta year.
Yeah, there was a few one-offs in there. It's like oh,
absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm in trouble.
Did we?
Oh,
say,
wait, I got a better guess for the next one.
Did we say Dylan Cease?
Did not
last
He's
year.
He's on the list.
Oh,
yes.
So because you're going back to 84 for the cup. Yeah, Sutcliffe.
Yes.
Okay, Sutcliffe.
Jamie Navarro.
Yes.
Man,
now I'm in trouble.
Which team, Shane?
White Sox.
Yes.
Maybe
oh, is
both.
He the tiebreaker?
You mean you think he's the both?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is the David other
Navarro
both?
Both
I don't.
Teams.
I knew it.
I don't think I got another one, man.
Shane, you got one more for me?
James Baldwin, I'm assuming. Like
yes.
early 2000s?
Yes.
Woo, Shane, impressive.
Nice job, Shane.
Esteban Loaiza?
Probably, right?
Home opener, yes, but not season
okay.
opener.
Okay.
Yeah, other notable names here from that one team that Danny mentioned, Jim Bollinger.
Oh, wow.
Also, what about Danks? John Danks on here as well. Mm. Another one missed here, Carlos Rodon.
Great category.
All right, here we go. Question three.
Yeah.
Great
okay,
category.
Question three. All right. I don't know if you saw this. Tom Hanks's Nike Cortez sneaker, the one he wore in 1994's Forrest Gump, sold at an auction this week for $57,000, this pair of Nike Cortez sneakers. 1994, great year for cinema. I need movies released in the year of 1994.
Oh my God.
A lot of formidable movies here, Danny, that I think you'll be able to get.
I've got one, Lion King.
Yes.
It's a Forrest Gump, obviously does not count.
Yeah, sure it does.
All right, Forrest Gump.
Yes.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
I'm out.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
Silence of the Lambs?
No.
I think I already won, but Jim Carrey did Ace Ventura and The Mask.
Yes, he did.
All in 94.
Look at that. Danny could have kept going. Yep,
Pulp Fiction?
That's right. Oh, yeah. Look at Danny's killing
Pulp
it.
Pulp Fiction. Yeah.
Sucks, by the way. They should have kept that one on the cutting room
no.
floor.
That's a hell of a year for movies.
It's amazing.
It's an all-time year, yeah.
Other notable movies, at least that I enjoy, Airheads, Blue Chips, which I mentioned earlier in categories, Clerks.
There you go.
Hoop Dreams. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
big year for movies.
The Professional.
That was expertly hosted.
That was very well done. Very, very, very well done.
You're hired.
All right.
Once a month.
The Cubs have big expectations. The Sox have none. Let's do an exercise and build the all 2024 Chicago baseball team. An hour ahead of Nico Horner joining us. How many White Sox would make the rotation, would make your opening day lineup, etc.? White Sox into the Cubs. Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.